But if it's just like chicken noodle or something, then you're like, oh, JR, what the hell? But then you hear it's chicken tortilla, and you're like, whoa, this guy probably had it coming.
What would constitute a soup throwable offense?
Specifically for chicken tortilla?
Yeah, specifically for chicken tortilla. We'll go into the rest of the soups later, because this is a soup podcast.
Right. Damon Jones told JR to cover up his Supreme tattoo.
For me personally, if Damon Jones was across the locker room and said, you ain't gonna throw that chicken tortilla soup at me, that would do it.
Damn.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0!
Welcome back, everyone, to the playoffs edition of Full Court Mess. It's me, Jared, your local fan.
I am Joe, and I cannot stress enough how far past my bedtime we are recording this.
Will, your local fan. That was me taking a sip of milk. You couldn't hear it, but...
Oh, strong boy. And today we have a special guest. We have... very good friend of the show, Donald.
Hello, it is me, the orange juice haver.
Donald's online at Donald Conacher. He's private right now. Just tell him to change it and maybe he will.
Yeah, send me a DM to request to change my mind.
So, Donald is a Bucks fan.
My guy.
And yeah. It is being reported by ESPN. About everyone who works for ESPN, that Jason Kidd today interviewed for a head coaching job for the Lakers. Donald?
All right. Why? It's like a bunch of young talent he can mess around with until Coach Bud signs there.
Damn.
Don't you put that on us, Donald.
No, that's like the last thing that I'd ever want to have happen. Not him going to the Lakers. That would be kind of funny to watch them just flounder around a little more. But...
I think it's smart, by the way. They saw him with the Bucks, and they're like, yo, he squandered a future superstar, so we'll just give him a team with no future superstars, and he can't do that again.
I think that'd be a great move if Pelinka is involved in this, because now everyone can see the team fail and say, oh, well, it's not the GM's fault. It's the coach's fault.
I just found this out today. Kurt Rambis is now involved in this process too. Kurt Rambis is like a special advisor to something for the Lakers now. They hired him a few days ago. So he was part of the interview process. Our boy's back home, Kurt Rambis.
Also, if they get Kidd, they'll have Pelinka, Kidd, and LeBron, who are three guys who just all love doing coups and just can't stop. So that would be entertaining to watch them all constantly stab each other in the back.
Coups like Kyle Kuzma? Is that what you're talking?
they love doing coups.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Doing a coups? I don't know if that's like a... I don't know.
Is it just all under the guise of hazing?
My other favorite storyline of it is that they're not seriously going to hire him. They're like, oh, don't worry. We're not actually considering him. In which case, what are you doing? Are you just wasting time?
Maybe. They're trying to get his secrets, and then they don't hire him, and then they use his secrets.
They're like, we had to have a interview today. Somebody told us that, so we just got whatever one we could, and then we're going to move on to real candidates later.
Tell us, how did you spill the drink?
Genius. Galaxy brain move.
See, in other news, I guess this is kind of a theme of the episode. We're coming off a weekend that is religious to many, very special to many, celebrated in very unique and varying ways, and that is 420.
We're all on the same page there.
Praise be.
Yep.
Who in the NBA went hardest?
The weekend.
Yeah, who went hardest this weekend?
J.R. Smith, without a doubt.
Ooh, and you know J.R. hit it with the pipe, too.
Jared said in the NBA, though.
He is technically in the NBA.
Technically, no, he's on contract. Where they are.
Your team has to know your location.
Okay, then who else?
Obviously, I mean, Clay, for sure.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially, did you see that interview the other day about how he got out of the, not really a slump, but how he kind of reset his mind?
Yes, but please tell everyone how he did it, because it was great.
He said that he and Jonas Jerebko were playing volleyball on the beach a day or two before the game, and he said, you know what's really going to help me reset my mind? If I just get into the Pacific Ocean. And so Clay walked into the Pacific Ocean, and that's what reset his mind, and he's credits to having a great game.
He also followed it up with a speech about how we should all appreciate Earth Day, so mm-hmm. He was definitely high as shit.
He was appreciating some plants, all right.
I think it was him. He was busted for weed in college.
Shocker.
Right?
Clay wore a Washington State onesie while he was in college, so I assume there was no point at which he was not high.
Make a good point.
I drive by Washington State. Did he go to State or UW?
State.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't speak for State, but the kids at UW definitely smoke fat. They're all white guys, so they probably don't pay way too much for it.
Yeah, how much did Clay get good deals? Because it's not like he can get like a deal where like he can shout out the plug. You can't get a weed sponsorship playing basketball.
Not yet.
You think that could happen in like 20 years?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I believe.
I know, what's that website? Weed Maps? Mm-hmm. They like sponsor professional skateboarders now. So I'm waiting for them to break into other things. Maybe swimming.
Gotta have good lung capacity for that.
Well,
that's a pretty good market.
People have been caught smoking fat in swimming before.
True.
Too true. NBA players, I choose to think that Kevin Durant is still high back from when he tweeted about watching the History Channel in the club.
Great tweet.
Wondering how we know about the sun, considering no one's ever been.
Oh, we need to retweet that.
There's no way that's
absolutely. This is not in the NBA anymore, but Michael Thompson, based on his tweets, also.
Oh, absolutely. And Shaq, because of that picture of him, right. Surrounded by smoke.
Isaiah Thomas last year on the Cavs bench. Have you seen that clip?
Oh yeah.
Eyes red as hell.
John Wall.
Oh, you know Nurkic is like gonna have a good summer as far as highs go.
Any guys who have recently snapped their legs are a safe bet.
Right. You think anyone on the Trailblazers blazes?
A fine question.
I think Evan Turner, definitely.
Okay, that's fair.
For sure, Evan Turner. I don't know. I want to say Dame because he's from Oakland, but honestly don't know.
I don't think that anyone who makes rap albums and goes out of their way not to curse smokes. And I know there should be a correlation between that, but I feel like there is.
I feel extremely confident that Zach Collins does not, but was offered it one time and really stressed out about how to turn it down.
What about CJ?
I believe yes.
I'm trying, Jennifer.
Yeah. He's trying, Jennifer. Mm-hmm.
He was asked about that post-game. I don't know if we mentioned that on an earlier pod, but after they won the first game, they said like, well, do you have anything to say to Jennifer? He just started laughing.
He was actually referring to that new strain called Jennifer. I'm trying some
Jennifer right now.
I was pondering this the other day. What NBA player should have a strain of weed named after them? What would be the best name? Like Meta World Peace?
Good. This one's too easy. I feel like Shaq Diesel is way too easy. That's maybe cheating because of how big Diesel is of a strain.
Does it have to be the player's name specifically, or can it be like their catchphrase?
No, just any representation of a player. Yeah.
I feel like I'd go for some Ball Don't Lie because I think she needs something named after him.
Okay.
Greek Freak would probably be a fair name for something.
Yeah.
World be free.
World be free.
Slim Reaper.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Splash Mountain.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I'm feeling it.
Young Larry Bird. Shouts out to Kroll Show.
This whole podcast is just one big homage to Kroll Show.
It really is.
Smoking some of that Ref Jeff. That shit will have you walking backwards, man. Butt out and everything.
Oh, man.
You do like Linsanity OG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it hits you hard, but it doesn't last long.
Yeah. It's like a 30-second high.
Yeah, it's real fast. And it's like, it's intense. Like, it feels worth it at the time.
Oh, yeah. And then you just bounce around to a bunch of different highs.
Like, you got to try it in every form.
Yeah.
I think we need to develop a full court mess strain.
Okay.
Needs to be our next marketing strategy.
Then we can sponsor a player with the strain.
There you go.
I'm thinking we go
sponsor
after
Kyrie. It'll become the show.
Oh, yeah. I think we go after Kawhi. We'll call the strain a Kawhi or Die.
That's solid. Just I was not, thinking Kawhi actually... Kush would be good.
Oh, shit. Okay. We have a winner. We have a winner. I don't know. I can't think of any more.
It's because, like we've said, no NBA players have good nicknames anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not like true. We can't like riff off of like CP3 and D12. And everyone's nickname is just an answer in bingo. It's not useful for anything.
PG-13, like the movie rating.
Pistol Pete.
Okay. True.
Oh man. That's the only
Magic Johnson seems really easy.
Yeah.
Mo Bamba. I'm sure there's a Mo Bamba strain out there.
Some of that Skyhook.
Ooh. Mm. Well, let's move on just to the Blazers, I guess, because Donald is originally from like Central California, kind of close to East Bay. We share a hometown. We've shared a street once and also a house.
All true facts.
Shouts out. But now he has moved to Seattle, where his closest team is the Blazers.
Yeah, I am planning on writing a strongly worded letter to Adam Silver about bringing back the Supersonics.
Please do.
Yeah.
Are you supporting the Blazers? Like, how do you view the Blazers now that you like live close to them while you're still a Bucks fan? And I know also like you're also about the Kings.
Yeah, it was tough. I'd say like my second team after the Bucks like was the Trailblazers for a long time until the Kings started getting good, and I was like, oh. Like hometown team, let's root for them. But then I just switched hometowns. But yeah, like I'm excited. I mean, CJ and Dame, like top three backcourts for the last like 4 years in a row. They just never get talked about.
For sure.
So that's exciting. Enes Kanter's been doing work in playoffs. I don't know how like New York didn't want to pay him, but
they said he was too old. And how old is he? That's like fair. 28, 26?
28 seems right.
I'm coming up on my prime then.
How old is he? I'm checking. I feel like it's 28.
I mean, if he's 28, that's...
He's 26, okay. And he's too old for the Knicks.
He's not quite in the Greg Monroe category of 28 years old, where he's just ancient.
Oh, man. How does that man still move?
He never could.
Why? Why would the Knicks go with that excuse when everyone would have accepted them just saying, you know, he's not good enough to pay?
Yeah,
they didn't have to come up with something else.
we're trying to tank here. He's too good. Just give Dennis Smith the ball and let him fly around for a while. And then we'll also pretend that Kevin Knox has as much potential as Giannis.
Kevin Knox, the next Kevin Durant, if Kevin Durant wasn't good at any of the things that he's good at.
Since you're a King, what do you think about the Kings move though? I mean, they looks like they're not, they just decided to not have a coach going into the season. We don't need to go into that. That just seems like it's what it is.
Yeah, weird strat.
Yeah, no,
weird
strat. A pioneering moment in basketball history for sure. But like, I'm looking forward to it. Just put like 13 guys on the bench, just going at it.
Guys can coach themselves. They don't need another grown man telling them when to go in and when to sub out.
13 they play guys basketball like their whole life. Yeah, I mean, they know what to do.
They had a couple games, at least with Buddy, where the coach seemed to hold them back. So, you know.
If my church league men's team can figure it out, I think the Sacramento Kings can figure it out.
There are plenty of teams.
I'm tired. Someone come in for me. Joe, it's 1 minute into the game. Don't ask questions. This is a running clock. I need a 10-minute breather.
Joe sitting on the bench. I'm tired. Someone sub in.
I need to lie down. Move over.
The Cleveland Cavaliers won a championship with no coach. I'm sure the Kings can do it.
Got him.
Zing.
Hey, that's the future coach of the Lakers you're talking about. Another team that will be perfect without a coach.
And they're really about to go with Lou, huh?
They really are.
Since the other option is Jason Kidd, I would endorse Ty Lue wholeheartedly.
They did interview Monty Williams too, but apparently the Suns want to hire Monty Williams because they fired Igor.
Yeah, they fired him like yesterday, right?
They fired him at 1 a.m. today.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of weak.
It's been a year.
Wild. They gave him a team with, was it, no players above the age of 25 and almost no one above the age of 22?
And a lot of injuries, too.
They had Trevor Ariza. They traded him away.
Did you hear? It was a little tidbit, so I wouldn't be surprised if you miss it. But at the very least, the Bucks fans should enjoy this. There was a little thing that came out that where everyone was bashing the Suns, as they should. They have no stability. But something came out about Igor, and they said, you know, it never really seemed like he was in charge. It never really seemed like he really had a handle on everything. The guy who it seemed like was in charge was assistant coach Joe Prunty.
Uh-oh.
We're up all night to get Prunty, baby.
My guy. We're up all night to get Prunty. Wow. Quality stuff.
Wow, it's going to roll when Prunty becomes the Suns coach. And they win one extra game this next season.
They want to hire Monty Williams, which any team that hires Monty Williams, that's a good hire, in my opinion.
Monty's such a good dude.
Yeah. He's a good dude and a good coach.
Oh, we said that last week, though.
Yeah, we should stop saying that. Us and Steve Kerr are banned from giving speeches about how guys are good dudes.
Monty Williams, he's a coach. What more can you ask for? Is.
And that's more than you can say for Joe Prunty.
Zing.
We've come full circle.
All of this is a backseat to the fact that the Bulls are going to extend Jim Boylan, though, which is the only country that they're allowed.
Oh man, they're gonna sign someone who's like coming into the season injured, or like. And just play him anyway. Like, no, get out there. Like,
I mean,
I don't know.
Boylan did something that they've struggled with in the last 3 or 4 years, and that's drawing attention to the team. You gotta give him that.
I thought you were gonna go with push-ups, because that's the only other thing I'm certain he did.
Well, that too.
This team needs more grit.
Just more upper body strength.
Like, imagine also a guy who looks like that telling a bunch of elite athletes that they're not tough or strong or gritty enough.
I mean, that's just like memories of high school PE where the teacher's like, you're not running good enough. And it's like, I've never seen you run.
Oh, I got in so much trouble on my 11th grade baseball team. For some kid was in trouble and we were all having to run poles for it. And the coach, I like ran by the coach and I was like, why are we all doing this? This is stupid. And he's like, because you're a team, so you run as a team. And I was like, I don't see your ass out here running. I got a lot of extra running.
Oh, it's a fair point.
And then he traded you to the Bulls.
Pretty much.
He's like, this kid's too old to pay.
That's why I like Jim Boylan so much. It brings back memory.
What position did you play, Will?
Third base for the most part.
Ooh, the hot corner.
Oh, yeah. Got some fun injuries on that side of the diamond.
So is that... Wow. I was going to say, is that touching or kissing?
It is asking for her number, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I always thought it was eye contact.
For me, it was just crying.
That's home run for me.
I'm sorry.
I watch too many rom-coms, and third base to me is holding a boombox up outside of her window.
Or chasing her through an airport.
Third base now is like writing cryptic messages on Tumblr.
So tweeting.
Third base is now is the third time you bone.
Shit. We live in a society, don't we?
We do.
Millennials are both not fucking and having too much sex. This is an NBA podcast, folks.
All right, basketball.
So who on the Blazers is celibate?
Ooh.
Bill W. Portland legend Bill W.
Bill from Portland.
Zach Collins. Absolutely.
Zach Collins looks like he wishes he was in like the E League. No disrespect.
Doesn't he have a bunch of like old vines out there from when he was in high school? Like before, where he just looks like a little boy because he hadn't hit a growth spurt yet, of him like dabbing and doing all this lame stuff.
He looks like a dabber.
I'll look into it.
Zach Collins is an incel. Now, Dame has the quiet fortitude of a Volcel. And that's where he gets all that playoff intensity, is he's always operating at full T.
No distractions.
Absolutely.
He's got ice in his veins because he's always taking cold showers.
I really want to say that Myers Leonard is incel, but honestly, he probably fucks, and that upsets me.
Oh, man. Like, it's the tall white guy syndrome. Like, there's someone out there for you.
He'll land with someone, which I shouldn't complain about because it's the only way I ever get anything. But I am certain that while Myers Leonard is fucking, he does whisper, it's Myers Leonard time, right when he's about
no!
to
fuck. No! No!
So I found an article titled that reads, Twitter finds Blazers draft pick Zach Collins' old tweets about wanting a, quote, big booty girl. Also twerks on cam. Parentheses, video. I will not be watching the video.
I thought you were going to say, parentheses, not safe for work. Zach Collins, new favorite player. Speaking of old photos, Nikola Jokic's old passport photo that came out in the past couple days.
Oh, that's been out. Oh, but it expired yesterday.
Gotcha.
So that's why it resurfaced.
That is majestic. That is a man who enjoyed the 420 holiday.
Can you explain this picture in greatest detail that you can?
Imagine 15-year-old Jim Boylan, and pretty much got it.
Damn.
To me, it's like, imagine a perfect circle and put a human face directly in the center of it.
It's the SpongeBob art episode where it's, here's how you draw a perfect circle. First I draw the face, then I erase the extra part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we, I guess, talk about playoffs that are happening?
Playoffs sure are happening.
They're there.
They sure are.
We did say this was a playoff episode.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Yeah.
My sweet Bucks have swept the Pistons, and it's a beautiful day.
No. We're talking about NBA teams right now, so no Pistons.
Oh, okay. Ah, my apologies.
I've decided to take the Magic out of the G League
mm-hmm.
for the first time ever.
put them in a lower league?
No, I've just put them back to the D League.
Okay.
They're just the only team.
Yeah. But to replace them, I've decided to that the Pistons, they got to go.
I saw
except for Blake.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A couple days ago that said, like, Blake doesn't deserve this. The Pistons don't deserve this. And I was like, Blake does not deserve this. I think the Pistons do, though. Like,
yeah. I think one of them has to deserve it.
Yeah.
It's not a good team. They deserve exactly what's happening.
Blake played that last game looking like the knight in the Holy Grail.
Ah, limbs falling off.
Yeah, but a flesh wound.
Nice.
That man was dying on the court.
Yeah, he was.
And they lost Blake still.
Yeah. When I started watching the game, it was like midway through the second quarter. I like walked in and the Bucks were down by 6 points. I was like, how did this happen?
Yeah, see, Donnie, that's why you don't watch the games.
Yeah.
Never watch the games.
Yeah. Oh, so do we just talk about basketball here? We don't actually watch it?
Yeah, I mean, the one requirement for guests that I do tell everyone is that they just have to watch more basketball than Will.
Which, okay. If you watch part of the second quarter of that game, you're ahead. So don't worry.
Sweet.
I was trying to think the other day if I had seen any playoff games yet this year. And the only reason the answer was yes was because I turned on Magic Raptors as a gimmick for our last episode.
You were tweeting like last night about like that you thought the Jazz were already eliminated.
Yeah, I did. That was shocking to me that they weren't.
And they won. Keep tweeting that.
Yeah, for real.
Keep tweeting it until Harden's out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that game
you're
ruled.
You're gonna get Jazz fans in your mentions like, keep doubting us.
Y'all are sound like some Jazz fans. You want them to advance.
I like, you know, like improvisational music. I'm a fan of that.
True.
I'm on board with the Twitter pylon of the Rockets would be the first team to blow a 3-0 lead, right?
Ooh.
I'm a fan of that.
That was a popular take swirling around Twitter after last night.
Ooh. So the Rockets would be the first team to lose to a team that was already eliminated, in my opinion.
Damn, okay.
History making.
Anyone else advance?
Who else we got?
We said the Celtics
win in playoff
advanced.
Series. The Celtics, sweep in the Pacers.
Raptors advanced. Where did I say that?
Oh, yeah, that was official today, too. I did see that. So Bucks-Celtics is the next matchup, mm-hmm. and I think it's starting this weekend. But I saw that the Bucks' smallest margin of victory in the series was 16 points, and the Celtics' largest margin of victory was 10 points. But both teams swept.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, first, like, the Pacers are a better team than the Pistons.
Absolutely. The Pacers are a team.
Pacers are, they are an NBA team.
They play in the NBA, yeah.
Right. So you're going to have better competition there. I think it's going to be a great series, Bucks-Celtics. I'm really excited for the rematch. Both teams are totally different from last year.
Yeah.
The Celtics will have Kyrie and Hayward back. The Bucks have just like a infinitely better supporting cast, and they have an infinitely better coach, a coach that can actually like keep up or even out-coach Brad Stevens at times. Like, ooh. It'll be good.
Would
it's going
to
be a great
series. That Brad Stevens is coaching for his job.
I mean, you got to think that's you got to think that's true. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I like if, that every season that Brad Stevens has been there, we say, "See, coaching for his job," but this is the one.
Yeah, it's been a joke every time until right now.
Yeah, I think it's real now after seeing just how that locker room has fallen apart all season.
If the Celtics lose the series. Does like what happens in the offseason, do you think? Does Kyrie stay? Do they trade for AD? Do you know what else do you think could happen?
They take a deep breath, look in the mirror, and say, we gotta get more racist.
I think that's their start.
They're saying that before
as tradition states, yes.
Yeah, that's every offseason.
I think even with that being said, I think they still might trade away Hayward.
think so?
He's just not racist enough.
Ah, okay.
You can do better at that position.
I don't know who you trade him for, but they need to do something about their depth being that, like, it's all the same and everyone wants the same minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're getting Anthony Davis this offseason, regardless of what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Unless they legit win the title, in which case maybe they're like, why would we trade any of our players? They can still offer the best package for AD, so I am assuming they'll be getting him.
Yeah, if they're serious about getting him, they could get him. Absolutely.
So, as much as I would enjoy him leaving, I kind of think Kyrie stays. It's not based off anything but a gut feeling. I usually go off of like, oh, I want a bad thing to happen to Boston, so it probably won't, and that's how I come to conclusions like that. in short, probably a bunch of good things will happen to them, and they'll be even more annoying next season.
Yeah, I think Kyrie will maybe talk to some other teams, then probably stay. I think he'll go talk to the Knicks, and then stay with the Celtics, which I think, as much as I want to see Kyrie go somewhere else, just because it sounds fun, it's also very fun for the Knicks to have hope and then not get anything at all.
You see the thing where it's like, we were saying the last like marquee free agent to talk with other teams but still go back to his own team was Melo with the Knicks, and like no one else has done it.
Damn.
Wow.
So it seems like a pretty big step to actually go talk with the other teams, but Kyrie's a unique guy, so might not mean anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kyrie, who doesn't owe anyone shit.
I do think the Bucks handled them though in these playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think not having Marcus Smart potentially for the whole series is a big deal.
I think that's really big.
The Bucks might be getting Malcolm Brogdon back. He's having like a check on his rehab this week to see if he's ready to go. I think he'll be back at least partway through the series, if not for game one. But we'll see. But getting Brogdon back is nice. But we've got a deep team. Connaughton's been amazing lately. George Hill's played really well lately.
Mirotic is back, right?
He is back, yeah. He's kind of slowly working his way back into the rotation, I assume. My other question is, what if the Celtics win the series? What if the Bucks lose? What do the Bucks do this offseason? They have Middleton, Brogdon, and Lopez all as free agents this offseason. They re-signed Bledsoe this year. Giannis is eligible for the Supermax next summer, 2020. That's all I know.
That's all we have to go on, folks. We've known they were going to do since episode one. They just sign Anthony Davis. Contracts be damned.
Great point. Great, great point.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do they need to do? Or would they need to do? I don't know.
I think it's a decent argument that, I mean, it depends on how they lose this series, if they do, but
right.
I could see the point that you would want more. You only have one superstar, and it typically takes at least two to win a title.
Yeah.
So if they lost in former fashion that kind of reinforced that point, then it would be, hey, how can we package some of what we have into getting Giannis elite help, as much as I love Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And you commit to keeping Brooke?
I think you got to keep Brooke, like, with how good he's been. But I don't know what kind of price tag he's going to command now, because I think a lot of teams are going to gun for him, being that three-point threat and rim-protecting threat that he was this
year.
So
say you lose him,
I think that's a huge loss.
Keeping a recent injury in mind that I think will affect money this offseason, do you go after Boogie?
I don't know. I'd be open to it, I think.
Because my thought there is that he can shoot threes like Brook.
Oh yeah, in that system, he would slide right in as Brook did.
Yeah, he's
pretty well. I think.
Despite injury, he's more athletic, I think.
Yeah, he moves better. Yeah,
yeah, that's.
I mean, Lopez is crafty. He's like so smooth. he's very slow, but he's like really smooth with his post moves, and like his defensive presence is solid. Like, but yeah, he's definitely like not a quick guy at all.
I know.
So Boogie would enhance the athleticism.
I don't mean this as negative as it sounds, but like, it's obvious that the guy was trying to work back from a devastating injury. But like, Brook Lopez this year, I think, was definitely markedly better than DeMarcus Cousins was. So
I think so too.
I think that's fair.
It sounds so much more negative than I want to, and I love DeMarcus Cousins, but I'm hand to God not sure it would be an upgrade, at least in the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Brooke like knew his role on this team too. I think Boogie perhaps would want more touches. I don't know. But Brook Lopez knew he was like third fiddle at best on this team. Usually fourth fiddle, probably. So that worked out really well.
Yeah, but I don't remember know if it
would work out well with everyone.
Yeah, I remember seeing an interview with him, like when they first signed him. And he was just like, yeah, I'm stoked to contribute whatever I have to this team. I was just like, you're like a talented basketball player. Why are you so humble?
Like an all-star. Like,
yeah, like what are you doing? But yeah, no, he fit the system perfectly. And like you guys were saying, like, I think he could probably get big offers from other teams, but I'm not sure if the Bucks would want to match that, just because they have so many other like key pieces they're trying to keep on board right now.
I think it would be kind of cute if other teams were like really pushing out after him, which is funny because he is a good player, but like there's a reason he fit so well with the Bucks specifically. And there's something of a reason that other teams weren't as high on him before the Bucks got him, which a lot of it is, hey, they didn't know that he could be a high volume, very good 3-point shooter, I guess.
Yeah.
They had forgotten that he was a good player, but having Giannis and having defensive menaces like Bled and Chris Middleton and guys like that to fill in around him really enable him to be what he was with the Bucks. So if you've got a freak of nature who can protect the rim like Giannis and four other guys on defense who can sprint around like crazy, then Brook Lopez's spot is a pretty sweet gig, but that's not a role that you can just, I think, plug into the same way on every other team, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Like the classic, like he would have this season, the Wizards would sign him and be like, do what you did in Milwaukee, please. No one else is doing what everyone else did in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I think I do wonder if, because he hasn't been on a whole lot of like vastly successful teams before this year. Like this is by far the best team he's ever been on. So I wonder if he's like, that was like kind of does the Iguodala of like, this is really fun. I'm never playing for another team unless it's like this kind of setup. Like,
yeah.
I'm never playing for another bad team again. Like, I'll just stick with the Bucks and I'll take a pay cut. Or, you know, I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah, like this but is the bar
would,
for me.
That would fit what I would want.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, let's see what happens with him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's been a great run up till now, but the real season starts now. And, there's a lot of, like, Rudy Gobert is amazing in the regular season, and he's not all that useful against the Houston Rockets. So if you get to a key matchup and Brook Lopez just gets played off the floor, then that probably changes someone's thinking one way or the other.
Sure.
Right. Sorry to the Gobert lovers, but, like, you're right.
Sorry, Ryan.
He's excellent. It is not an insult to say he's getting, like, marginalized by the Rockets because – they do it to everybody.
You have to be a specific
kind of player for it not to happen to you.
He's like kind of struggling while also going against Capella, who is battling two respiratory illnesses during this round.
Yeah.
But like now there's a 420 friendly guy. Now we're talking.
Being a one man defense against like 27 teams in the league is still incredible, even if two other ones can exploit you.
Right.
Like, so, to show even-handedness, son of the show, friend of the show, best friend and optimistically lover of the show, Steven Adams, is getting obliterated on defense by the Portland Trailblazers. I love him. I think he's excellent. He is getting killed in the pick and roll in this series.
Yeah.
So it happens to big men of that archetype at this point. So it doesn't mean you're a bad player, but some teams will force you into terrible matchups.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, matchups. Matchups are a thing in the league. You can be,
and that's what happens
like,
when there's crazy
good. Yeah, you can be crazy good and still have like a bad matchup. You can be Russell Westbrook and still be dominated by Lillard. But then again, you know what? I'll say it. I think Lillard is better than Westbrook.
Yeah, I think that's true.
It's not. I don't know if that's a hot take, but
if all four of us agree, it's not a hot take.
Strike it from the books.
It at least fits the like classic. I think Lillard's easier to build around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a point guard who can't shoot, you need to surround him with shooting at pretty much every position, and that's hard to do. You don't have the same problem with Lillard because he's one of the three or four best and most unique shooters in the league in terms of what he can do off the dribble.
Yeah, and he has shooters around him still.
Yeah, which is nice. It helps.
CJ can shoot. They added Seth.
Aminu.
Yep,
Aminu's shooting really well.
Yep.
Aminu's great to shoot really well in one random, really important game.
Right.
That was game four.
Oh, wow. Aminu's shots are going into that game.
Yeah.
But just because we got to Russ, let's go on with his true, his real feud. The stuff with Damian's not a real feud. They're just ultra competitive guys.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I saw like there were people on Twitter going, care to explain? Like, look at back when these guys were at the All-Star game and they were friends. Now look what happened to them. It's like, the difference is just that they're playing against each other now.
You mean like playoffs and competition? Okay.
Versus All-Star weekend? Like vacation?
And they just like go home and think about how much they hate each other. They're just...
their $1 million mansions, like with all their nice cars and clothes around them. They're just like, man, I hate that Paul George. Like...
I think LeBron might think that when he looks at the current Lakers roster, but everyone else is more normal.
Yeah. He's just, no, he thinks that at practice.
Yeah. LeBron kicks back with a nice wine right after he's done showing off on Snapchat and for the gram and just mutters under his breath, dog, fuck Paul George. But Russell Westbrook, I think at this point, his clear feud is with the NBA media. And so it blew up again because it blows up every playoffs at this point because that's when press conferences become televised. I don't think he likes anyone in the media. He never gives good answers. But he specifically very much does not like Barry Trammell from one of the Oklahoma City papers, who famously, I believe, wrote the Mr. Unreliable article about Kevin Durant. More recently was the one who asked Russell like 2 years ago. He did not ask Russell. That's the point. He asked Steven Adams why the team's like net rating craters when Russell goes off the court, and Russell wouldn't let Steven Adams answer because he, I think, assumed that he was trying to insult his team or something. He doesn't like Barry. And so when Barry asks him questions, Russell just says, next question, every time. And so as what always happens, some people were like, this is hilarious. The NBA media people were like, this is the end of the world. People who were reasonable were like, yo, Russ is kind of a dick. Who cares? Some measure of that. But Barry Trammell wrote an article about it titled Why I Keep Asking Russell Westbrook Questions. If you get the chance, it's pretty funny to read just because I think sometimes the media thinks of themselves as the troops. And it's a very important piece where it's like, I'll keep doing my duty. He won't be able to intimidate me, but I know that even by asking questions, he's too headstrong to surrender. And I was like, what is happening here, man? You're just asking him, like, did you have enough defensive intensity tonight? There's one really important tidbit in the article, though, that I believe Joe and Donnie are hearing for the first time right now, which is how Barry's main point is that all of this is about control for Russ. He acts this way because he needs the control. And includes this sentence in the article. Westbrook long ago was given the keys to the franchise and controls most everything around the organization, from brand of mustard at the concession stand to who sings the national anthem.
The two most important jobs for a basketball team.
Russell Westbrook chooses what mustard is served at Chesapeake Energy Arena and who sings the national anthem, presumably for every game.
Not only are those like the two most important jobs, but they're of equal importance.
So my first two thoughts upon reading that were, that honestly seems like a lot more work than this guy who doesn't even want to talk to the media would want to do.
Yeah.
To come up with national anthem singers. My second was, every NBA star should have 2 to 3 random organizational jobs within the team assigned to them.
Yeah.
Like, I think Karl Anthony Towns should be in charge of ruling how much PTO arena workers get and also exactly how high the American flag is hung in the arena in Minnesota.
Okay.
Solid.
KD obviously is in charge of, or should be in charge of Golden State's social media stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also drinking Scarlett Johansson's bathwater.
Yeah, yeah.
which is a staple of the Warriors franchise.
That's the secret sauce.
when they talk about the Splash Brothers, that's the water they're splashing in.
Oh, no.
Abort. We already know from that big popcorn article that Steph Curry has a huge hand in the popcorn at Golden State and around the league.
True.
So that's what he does.
What does Clay do? He's just chilling.
He should be in charge of changing the batteries on the smoke detectors because he just forgets to do it, like, you know, on purpose.
Okay, true, true.
When they bring up the smoke detectors, he thinks they mean, like, Andrew Bogut. And he's just like, yeah, he's a fucking narc.
Cantor is in charge of, like, international relations for the entire league.
Manu Ginobili is in charge of pest control.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving is the philosophy teacher.
No.
Yeah.
That's for our good friend Bill W. How dare you?
Bill W.
The man with no sons.
The celibate legend from Portland and UCLA, Bill W.
Yep. Imagine if he had a son. Probably wouldn't even be a good player.
No.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. It's fun to play What If, though.
I saw one. I wish I had written down their name because this was the best joke I saw on this matter all day. But someone in the DM said that Gordon Hayward is in charge of which words get bleeped out of songs that get played in the games.
Steven Adams is in charge of like any like E-League relation stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum does fan relations.
Okay. Good, good.
And J.R. Smith does an incredibly different type of fan relations.
You want the pipe?
It's a more personal interaction. Yeah.
The pipe?
He really cares about the fans.
So that's just I have not been able to stop thinking about Russell Westbrook picking out the mustard and determining the anthem singers.
Does it say what brand of mustard it is?
It doesn't, which is just a useless.
Yeah, what are we thinking? He can't be a yellow mustard guy. If he's picking out the mustard, it's not just going to be like, yellow, plain, that's good.
It raises odd questions. Like, there's no way he's eating the concession food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Barry Trammell knew this piece of information and was just sitting on it until he was writing his Why I Will Still Keep Asking Questions, I want to find him and be personally mean to him. This is more interesting than every article that has come out about the Thunder since Kevin Durant left. And that's all I get is one sentence in this throwaway article.
Yeah, how do you like withhold that? By the way.
The entire NBA world went insane wanting to know what kind of soup that J.R. Smith threw at Damon Jones. And you're just sitting on the scoop of the century with Russell Westbrook picking mustard and anthem singers. and you're just like, oh, this isn't a big deal. Nobody cares. I would read a book on Russell Westbrook running the day-to-day logistics of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Barry,
no, I'm still not Barry. Over the J.R. Smith soup thing. Like, how do you throw soup? The soup is going to stay and get all over you if you throw the bowl. How did...
He got two big handfuls of it.
He froze it into a ball and
filled his pockets with soup and is just emptying his pockets.
It was a fatal soup attack.
It was just like an unopened Chef Boyardee can.
Yeah, was it like a to-go container, like with a lid on it that he threw, and when it hit Damon Jones, it like exploded with soup everywhere.
Absolutely not. The liquid was traveling freely through the air. Of this, I am dead certain.
Yeah. So did he like toss the bowl, like hang on to the bowl and toss the soup out of it at Damon Jones, or did he throw the bowl with soup in it at Damon Jones?
He took a very large ladle, got all of the soup into the ladle. Then here's where the plot twist comes. He drank all of it, held it in his mouth, and then spat it at Damon Jones. It stayed though together as a soup. It didn't disperse into a spray. This lump of soup just flew out of his mouth across the Jones.
And I gotta know if it was a chowder. If we're talking, what kind of broth base we're talking with this soup?
We know it was chicken tortilla.
Chicken tortilla? That's confirmed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. This is news to me.
This is a loose soup.
Yeah, it's news to me too.
It's a loose soup.
Yeah. That's
that's the power of the pipe.
That's a good soup too. You don't just throw that soup at someone without being like really annoyed.
Damon Jones must have done something.
He did something.
Can you imagine, like, we're all sitting there, you're in court and you're waiting to hear the kind of soup, and if you hear that it's like, I don't eat enough soup to know what's universally hated, but if it's just like chicken noodle or something, then you're like, oh, JR, what the hell? But then you hear it's chicken tortilla and you're like, whoa, this guy probably had it coming.
What would constitute a soup throwable offense?
Specifically for chicken tortilla?
Yeah, specifically for chicken tortilla. We'll go into the rest of the soups later because this is a soup podcast.
Right.
Damon Jones told JR to cover up his Supreme tattoo.
For me personally, if Damon Jones was across the locker room and said, you ain't going to throw that chicken tortilla soup at me, that would do it.
Damn. That'd really be it.
Wasn't he asking for it then? I mean, the real question we have to ask is, what was Damon Jones wearing?
Oh, God.
This is a woke podcast now?
Yeah. Should we not victim shame the victims of throop sewing? Soup throwing.
No, I think we should.
Sewing.
I think we should actually.
Recording mediums. That mistake lives on forever.
J.R. Smith is the victim here. He had a delicious bowl of soup and then did it.
Galaxy brain.
Will, you'd actually be happy to hear that this week Steve Kerr actually called Westbrook's treatment of media dangerous for the league.
Oh, yeah, I love those. That's the step away from the guys who say that, oh, this is just like what our president does.
Do we have that tweet on hand?
Oh, it's not even one specific one. They're all over the place. But it's a very common take that Russell Westbrook is similar to Donald Trump.
Confirmed?
I do. I'm such an unabashed, emotionally volatile Russ stan, but I want the people who compare him to Trump to have to like sit down and just like think about it for half a second. Come on.
I'm not against it.
This is
just because it upsets you, that's it.
Oh yeah, I mean, but that's such a low bar. I get upset by everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge difference. It's just
I do, but I think my favorite takes I've seen so far about the media treatment are the people who go, talk to the fucking media. It's a children's game that you're being played millions for, which if it's just a children's game, then I would ask why the media are taking it so seriously.
Why don't we broadcast like 4-year-olds playing basketball?
Or why don't we give these jobs to 4-year-olds to interview the players?
Yeah, it's a children's game, so I don't know why
get answers then. Is he gonna next question a little kid?
Honestly, I would watch it if he did.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It wouldn't make me like him less. Some of the ones, like, a lot of it to me, it's just because it's wrestling. I'm not saying that he's, like, the good guy in this or anything. Because, I mean, he's being a dick. But it doesn't matter. And people are mad because it's Russell Westbrook. If he went up there and just, instead of saying next question, had said, I'm just here so I don't get fined, everyone would have thought it was hilarious. And he'd be a cult hero. But he's him, so people are mad about it. It is what it is.
He just needs to take some notes from Coach Pop.
Yeah, I mean...
Who manages to do all this in a very cool way.
I did. There was an incredible thread today from Molly something, Molly White or something, who writes for the Athletic LA, I think. And she wrote this thread on... why Russell Westbrook is the worst athlete she's ever covered. Molly Knight, I'm sorry. It was a very white thread, so that's why it was in my head. but this is, I just want to go through this thread real quick because it's amazing. This is the epitome of, like, the media think there are troops in this scenario.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, I love the job basketball media does. I love the access we get, it's great. I just think all the people who freak out about it are stupid because it's on some, like, it's a slippery slope kind of argument. And it's not.
It's one player.
This one dude doesn't like the media. Like, LeBron's not going to stop talking to you because Russell Westbrook is doing it. They're all different people. Yeah. Just a stupid idea. So she quote tweeted Steve Kerr's, an article about Steve Kerr saying Russell Westbrook's media grudge is dangerous for the NBA. She said, I've never dealt with a more difficult athlete. Second place isn't close. And then she launched into this incredible thread. Flew to Oklahoma City once to interview Westbrook about his new Jordan brand shoe. He was contractually obligated to answer softball questions. Wouldn't look at me. Flipped a magazine the entire time. I finally walked out. Wasted a day of my life. Had I been just starting out in my career, I probably would have panicked and thought I did something wrong. Maybe even gone back to my hotel and cried. But it had nothing to do with me. He just looks at media members as subhuman. So I just got up and left and went on with my day. I didn't need this dude to like me or even be nice to me. I was just there to do a job, which would have helped him promote his shoe brand. I left thinking, my God, what must the OKC media go through every day? Nice of Steve Kerr to speak up because it's gotten ridiculous. I'm not really a crier. In 12 years, I've only cried on the job once, and that was when a PR guy for an NL Central team belittled me in front of the locker room for no reason. And I made it back to my car before I let the tears go. He later apologized. That seems really tangential. And then I don't need a cookie or a pat on the head. I'm not special. This happened 3 years ago and I never would have shared this story if not for Steve Kerr speaking out. He's right. Life is too short. Be kind. Oh God, one more postscript. I missed game 5 of NLDS Dodgers versus Nats because I was flying to OKC for this. You know, the thrilling series, clinching road win where Kershaw got the save, which was then arguably the franchise's most exciting game in 20 years? Yeah. No Wi-Fi on the plane.
First world problems, lady. Okay. Watch a highlight video, and you'll save 3 hours of your life watching a baseball game.
Let me tell
you. Also, the Jordan brand doesn't need any more promotion than it already has.
Let me tell you.
Your interview did not help sell more shoes.
Let me tell you how fucking sorry I am for you that you, quote-unquote, wasted a day of your life flying across the country on your boss's dime.
Yeah, I went to work today. Huge waste of time.
Yeah, wait till she hears how many days of my life my job is wasted, and I'm only 23. She'll think that shit's crazy. I wish I got ignored by NBA players for in my job day in, day out.
It's funny, like he was definitely, it sounds like he was definitely being a dick.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, we can say what we want about that. He doesn't give a shit. If he gave a shit, he wouldn't have been like that. At the same time, like, subhuman?
Yeah, what?
Subhuman?
Calm down.
Right.
Doesn't like you.
Yeah.
If she's subhuman, then what's Barry?
He's the Antichrist.
Russell Westbrook has personally placed Barry Trammell in the ninth circle of hell, and I think that's too far. It's a slippery.
Okay, I think I have a solution here. If you want Westbrook to answer questions, you hire his parents to interview him.
The man loves his parents.
The man loves his parents.
Or his kids.
But does he love his kids as much as he loves his parents?
He's teaching his kids to love their parents, meaning him.
And his wife.
Next question.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know. It's a, my usual thing with Russ is just that every little thing he does usually becomes like some referendum on his entire self as a person. Like, I think the easiest way to answer this is he doesn't like the media and is a dick to them a fair amount of the time.
Yeah.
I don't really think that means anything in the grand scheme of things. Just like how when you watch him play basketball, I think the biggest flaw is he sucks at shooting. I don't think that really generally means anything about Russell Westbrook overall, but people usually like to extrapolate because he's a polarizing figure. This is just, we do this every year though. Everyone gets mad because the press conferences are televised so they can see him do it. But honestly, he might as well say next question because his regular answers are fucking useless. It was like 90% of guys will talk about how we didn't bring enough intensity on defense this game. We're going to need to step it up if we're going to win game five. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
If every guy in the league gave like super insightful answers like Kevin Durant just did with that question about Pat Beverly guarding him to every question, it'd be amazing because we'd all learn so much about basketball.
Yeah.
That's a little wild to ask for. It's not going to happen. So I can't bring myself to get worked up about these things, but I can definitely bring myself to get worked up about the reaction to these things because that's what I've been doing.
It's funny, like that Kevin Durant conference one that you mentioned, great answer. It was like super insightful, and it gave us that gem of, you know who I am, y'all know who I am. But I feel like answers like that from KD aren't actually that, they're not that common.
Oh yeah, no, like this, I was just saying today, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were perfect for each other because Kevin Durant just had a quote within the last day how it was like, the NBA media wouldn't exist without me.
Damn.
And it was like, all right, Kevin, calm down.
Yeah.
I still love that press conference where they asked Russ a question and KD just blocked his mic and was like, he's an idiot.
They were perfect for each other. They have
so much
weird disdain for everyone else that it's a shame they ever broke up because there wasn't a better fit in terms of teammates, especially that media relation. Yeah, Kevin Durant constantly unhappy with the media and doesn't like how he's portrayed. But that one answer was gold. And the other thing, just in terms of access, I know I've gone about this for ages, but it cracks me up. Russell Westbrook is terrible at giving good answers to the media. Somehow, I don't really feel like that's caused a lack of Russell Westbrook media coverage. I still think we get enough on the guy, regardless of his not giving good press conference answers.
I mean, if anything, it gives us more coverage.
Oh, it does. Barry Trammell got to write like 4 stories about this, which if you really wanted a way to deal with it, you could just not cover him. I mean, I know it's impossible, like practically, but if you could just not cover him, and then if he really wanted coverage, he could try to be nice to you. But
true.
That's not how it's going to go. This gave everyone like 5 stories to write where they all got weepy about the state of media relations in the NBA, which is what NBA media people like.
Right.
I'm thinking about NBA chat legend Matt Hinkamp's tweet about Russ averaging a triple-double where he said, okay, Russ had 1 triple-double. Let's see him do it for a whole season. And then he proceeded to do it for 3 seasons in a row. I just want to replace that with like, okay, Russ was a dick to the media. Let's see him do it for a whole season, though. Let's not freak out about it, guys.
That's my favorite tweet possibly ever. I quote tweet it at the end of every season where Russ averages a triple-double just to say how many times he's done it straight now. He tweeted it the night of the first game of the first season that Russ averaged the triple-double, the MVP year, where he said, "Ugh, people are like, he's the first one to he's first one averaging a triple double since Oscar. It's been 1 game. Calm down."
He's only done it to spite Matt's tweet.
It has now been 3 full years. I hope it never stops. I hope. Also, this is just the thing I was thinking about Russ the other day. Just with how much he pisses people off with triple doubles, I hope he's like 50 in the NBA. Terrible, but is averaging like 10, 10, and 10. Squeezed by his 18th consecutive season averaging a triple-double.
With 1 MVP.
Matt is just the king of poorly aged tweets.
The GOAT. The absolute
summit.
Donald, what's your worst take that you've had in the last 3 seasons?
My worst take?
Yeah. It's time to,
like,
it's time
my
to confess.
Personal worst take?
Yes.
Doesn't he have to relate to basketball? I thought this girl was the one. She dumped me.
Well, Raisin Bran is my favorite cereal. I don't know if you want to
that or not. So. Oh, no.
Canceled.
Yeah. I understand if you want to delete this episode now.
This is not a healthy morning podcast.
This is a Cinnamon Toast Crunch podcast. How dare you?
What was the Calvin and Hobbes cereal? Like the blasted sugar blasted somethings?
Oh, yeah.
Those. That's our cereal.
The official nailed cereal it. Of the full court mess.
I've got a retro take if we want to dive into that bad boy.
Sugar bombs. All right, sorry. Yes, I'd love to.
So in this special celebratory mood that we're all in, I went to our favorite site, Yahoo Answers, and searched the terms basketball, weed, and got many great and also many terrible answers.
Basketball weed is my favorite kind of weed.
Yeah.
Basketball weed. Here we go. So this asker is named Anthony. He comes to us from the year 2013, and he asks, does smoking weed affect my basketball skill? He goes on, I smoke weed about once or twice a week, and I'm trying out for my team next month. Will smoking slow me down or affect my endurance? I'm a pretty fit guy. I play almost every day. I assume he's saying he plays basketball almost every day.
He's just playing around.
Plays just playing the weed smoking game.
Playing practical jokes. Playing the ocarina. You know, just anything you can play, really.
So our, I don't mean to say it's the best answer, but I don't want to belittle anyone else's answers. As noted by the question asker, the best answer on this page comes to us from Wilton Chamberlain.
Damn.
Okay.
A member since September 2nd, 2010, so it's got to be the real guy.
Yep.
And here's his answer. It quickly divulges into a PSA. So I think I'm just going to read through the whole thing real quick, and we can get our reaction to it. Here we go. Weed will mess you up and take away your potential. Nobody ever made it or became a great player because they smoked weed, but thousands and thousands of potentially great players messed their careers and lives up because of weed. Weed will lower your desire to compete and lower your drive to work hard. Weed will also slow down your decision-making on the court. Potheads make the worst decisions at the worst times. Smoking weed when you are young and your brain is just developing leads to mental illness, depression, and schizophrenia. Any fool can be a pothead. Not everyone can be an elite athlete. Make the right choice.
This guy's going to be an elite athlete all of a sudden.
Stephen A. Smith, is this you?
Wait, I'm stuck on five make the worst decisions at the worst times. Imagining, like, pothead always pull up for three when their team is only down one.
With, like, 18 seconds left on the shot clock.
Potheads make a pass when there's 1 second left on the shot clock. They go for a chest pass when a bounce pass would work much better in that scenario.
I just imagine, as you read that, I just imagined it in like Stephen A. Smith's voice. With this whole like, stay off the damn weed.
Weed.
He ain't getting busted for smoking weed.
Are you a bigger fan of stay off the weed? Or who was on crack? I'm a bigger fan of who was on crack.
I like the who was on crack because, like, in every montage of his little drug tangents, that one always surprises me.
It does. It's always out of nowhere. You're like, oh man, it's serious now.
Yeah.
Lamar Odom, who was on crack? It hurts Steven so much when he's saying it, is why it's so great. It kills him.
What do you think?
Y'all know I'm a bootlegging hitman to the core.
Were there any other answers?
Yeah. This one says, well, I'm 12 and play basketball. I have won 7 grand finals, and I know a player who is 25 and he smokes weed. He was awesome until he started, so I would try and stop.
If someone's going to know.
100% the same guy who did the other answer.
I'm 12.
He just made a bunch of different Yahoo accounts.
I know someone who would ruin their lives. Listen to the guy who did the best answer. That sounds convincing.
Every single great internet comment starts with, well, I'm 12.
That's the guy's username.
Anonymous.
If I could offer a little advice, I don't remember high basketball players, but I do remember showing up to a baseball game in 10th grade, I think it was. It was either 10th or 11th, and our starting center fielder showed up to the game and was high as shit. And there was a play where we were out in the field, and the guy at the plate hit a routine pop fly to center field. Our guy just plants his feet, doesn't move, and just holds up his glove, and the ball goes about 2 inches over his glove and rolls all the way to the fence. He just turns around, puts his head down, and walks to go get it.
Oh my god.
No.
Oh, it was one of those.
I wouldn't recommend smoking weed before you play center field in a high school baseball game, but I don't know if that translates.
One more answer says simply, Michael Beasley made it to the NBA, so...
I mean, let's not forget Matt Barnes also.
I mean, Bill from Portland.
Bill from Portland, like, yeah.
Good old Sunless Bill, they called him.
Tie-dye Portland Bill.
Headband, beard, red hair, y'all know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
There was, I don't remember who did these interviews last year, but I'll try to find them and retweet them or share them or something. But there's like, last year on 420, maybe it was like Deadspin or something, interviewed Matt Barnes and a few other players about weed. And like, they all said, like, yeah, we smoked while we played. One of the routines was, like, a couple of them said they'd smoke a whole ass blunt, take a nap, and then go to the game. And they'd feel great, and they played great. But I'm 12 years old, and I don't like that.
I'm 12, and I've won so many grand finals, but then I know this guy who's 25, and he's bad, so.
We finally know why Matt Barnes didn't flinch when Kobe had the ball in his... Oh, dang it. No, it was the other way around. Doesn't work at all. Brutal.
Sorry, Will, are you high right now?
Be honest.
I'm high on takes, baby.
See, I'm... You know, a lot of people are in the no weed in the NBA side. And they're all 12 years old. But I'm amongst those who thinks that weed could maybe even be considered a PED. And... You know, I think if you want more to back up this argument, you could ask anyone who's good at Call of Duty and Matt Barnes.
Fair.
And to those, you know, if anyone I know is listening to this, definitely not me.
Just like we don't watch games, we've also never smoked any weed.
I know nothing about weed.
Nope.
I know nothing about what it does to you, what it smells like, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it tastes like.
How much it costs.
How it grows. How to
where
consume
I could
personally
it. Get help if I needed it.
Yeah.
Jared only knows two things. Is that he doesn't like weed, and he's 12.
Right.
He knows two things. That 12, and that there's this 125-year-old who smokes.
While we're on this, when are we going to get the first, or hear about the first LSD game? When is the NBA going to have their own Doc Ellis?
You got to assume it's already... It definitely happened, and it was JR in game one of the finals last year.
Okay.
Does it have to be a good game?
Just like, what does it mean to win, man?
Maybe Malice at the Palace was actually just like a really bad trip.
That's a possibility.
That's why he asked afterwards, are we going to get in trouble? He didn't know if it had actually happened.
Yeah. He's like, wait, was that a fever dream?
Don't tell my mom.
Oh, back on the players, Joel Embiid definitely smokes.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was just I just saw the tidbits from those that old article about his eating habits today.
Oh, yeah.
The 76ers stocked his fridge with healthy food, and they would show up once a week to check on him, and he would have eaten none of the food in the fridge, and they had to throw out all of the produce they had gotten him because it had gone bad, and he would have just like ordered fast food and Shirley Temples for the entire week. So, yeah, God. I'm talking on him.
See, that makes it believable, because I was on the side of, like, he's one of the 12-year-olds, because all his jokes lately have just been really old, like, internet things.
We're just finally all coming around to my original, I guess, at the time, hot take, which is, Joel Embiid is funny, but we only act like he's the funniest guy on earth because we're not expecting it from an NBA player.
Okay, true.
There's a lot of wisdom in that take.
We're like, people who are 7'2" shouldn't be this funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's not the best dribbler in the NBA. We're just all impressed at how good at dribbling he is for being a giant.
But boy, can he talk funny words.
He still puts down those virgin Shirley Temples.
True.
Joel Embiid, come on the podcast and prove us wrong.
You won't, coward.
Come back when you're 13.
You definitely throw soup at us from across the room.
Donald, do you have any last words or any takes or anything?
Before Jared
eliminates. Any last words?
Before I eliminate you and delete this?
Before we cut your mic and record the real podcast?
Yeah. You're like, all right, this was the hour warm-up, boys.
Before we all get a year older.
Well, I've been thinking about my, like, worst take over the past few years. And I definitely remember tweeting at a friend of mine who is a Celtics fan, Bucks in six at the start of the series last year.
Oh, no.
And I don't think I've ever been more ashamed of a tweet.
That's just become our catchphrase now. Don't worry.
That one's okay, because Bucks in six wasn't correct in the first place. You're supposed to use it when it's wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. I did also tell Jared in a private message recently that if it ends up being a Milwaukee Golden State final, Bucks and six.
There it is. He did say that.
Just to stay on brand.
Yeah, in my NBA playoff pool, I picked Bucks and six over the Warriors to win it all.
Oh, Joe, you sweet man.
How are the aficionados doing?
Pretty okay. I don't know. There's a whole spreadsheet of everyone's picks now, and I was looking it over last week, and there's 27 entries. No one picked the Spurs to beat the Nuggets, which could very well happen. I think only 4 or 5 people picked Portland to beat OKC, and quite a few have OKC in the Western Conference Finals also. What was the other? There were 3 different champions picked. Golden State was about 20 of them. Milwaukee was 4, and Houston was the other 3. So a few people had Toronto in the finals, but yeah, no one had Toronto winning the finals.
Aw, baby.
So those are the most interesting little things about it. I think I'm going to, depending on how Nuggets Spurs go, I think I'm going to get, I'll do fine in the first round. Where I differ is picking the Bucks to win it all and in 6 games. I think everyone else picked 7 games. So that's the first tiebreaker. So if I get Bucks in 6 right, I think I'll win the whole thing.
All right.
So that'll be a sweet victory when it happens.
It'll be way better than the Bucks actually winning the finals in 6
Absolutely.
Games.
It's more important, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Could be a true aficionado.
I quickly want to bring up that Donald and I both, over the last few years, have always given each other shit when the Suns are at some point beating our teams.
Mm-hmm.
Which this year has just destroyed us.
Oh, it was terrible.
Who lost first?
Bucks, I think.
Yeah, I think it was the Bucks.
Yeah, it was the Bucks.
I feel
Suns? And then you were like, well, you lost, and I was like, that was in the preseason. Yeah. It doesn't count. And then when and then we lost it, and then I was like waiting for his text, like Warriors, Suns.
And then I think the Bucks lost again this year. I think they lost to the Suns twice this year.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think we got swept by the Suns. Yeah, super fun.
At least they're not in the playoffs.
I can't participate in losing to the Suns chat. I can't participate in playoffs chat, but
yeah, I was like, none of us can participate in lottery chat though. So
I saw a lot of takes after the Pacers lost that they would have been better off trying to go to the lottery after Oladipo got hurt.
Let's touch on that before we end this. Because we need to bring that up.
They had 30-some wins before he went down.
32 when he went down, which means the Wizards got the sixth lottery slot with 32 wins at the end of the season.
Okay, I have a screenshot of Josh Eberle's tweet that has sparked this great discussion within basketball Twitter. And keep in mind, this was quickly deleted. And I have the apology also.
The apology's great.
Well, maybe it's not an apology, but after all the nice stories chronicling how hard Indiana fought and how resilient they were given the circumstances, how do you feel now? Better to make the playoffs and lay this egg out there, or have a shot at the number one pick? Now, again, how many games had they already won before 32. Oladipo?
32 when he went down.
Right.
If they had won no others, they would have had a coin flip chance at a 9% chance for the top pick.
Why didn't they take for that?
If they went winless.
I don't understand.
I love it. They were the fives. Not first of all, they were the three seed when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But they were the five seed. They almost had home court advantage. And his take was that they should have tried to get in the lottery. This is a poison mindset that has come to some people.
Now, how many wins did the Pistons have? 38, 39? Like, they only needed to win 7 or 8 more games to still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
No chance at the number one pick is one thing. It was practically impossible. But what a stupid mindset. They had a real chance at home court advantage, and he wanted them to take the lottery.
Now, I'm kind of on his side, okay? And let me tell you why. Now, I'm 12 years old. And if you can't win at all, why not lose? You ever think of that?
Genius. I said right after he tweeted it, every team except for the Bucks and Warriors should have tanked this year.
So here's the replacement after he deleted his tweet. He tweeted, "I was not trying to make a point. Didn't mean to imply tone. My question is, in the all or nothing era, do fans, specifically Pacers fans, feel good about the year, or are they envious of teams in position to add high lottery talent this offseason? I wasn't trying to make a point. I didn't mean to imply a tone, but here's my question." Yeah, so you're saying your tweet was pointless. I don't believe that.
I wasn't saying anything at all. Let me be clear about that. I sat on my phone and autocomplete made real words come out. I love the idea.
We've all been there.
He's like, Pacers fans, would you rather have had the year you just had, or would you rather be the Suns? 50-50 in my mind. God. Would you rather be good with some bad injury luck to your superstar, or would you rather suck ass? This is a big and important question to me that I think is the answer.
Well, my question is, with the Pacers losing, you know, the first round, why I haven't heard about them trying to tank yet still.
They've got to start at some point, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's now, like you said, it's the all or nothing. It's now or never.
I mean, you got to start thinking about benching Oladipo, right?
Also, do we believe in the all or nothing era?
I mean, I think that's correct in that, like, there's a shit ton of people who think that way.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the dumbest things to grace professional sports, but like there's definitely a lot of people who swear by it.
I agree. That's
my hottest take, is that being good is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. It's not a curse.
Having a good basketball team, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to improve, but it's good to be good.
I mean, some teams don't try to improve.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the Bucks in the era of, well, I've always been a fan of the Bucks, but especially in the era of like basically like the mid 2000s to the mid 2010s of like, we're maybe going to get the 8 seed and then lose in the first round. And that was like the hope every year.
Yeah.
So I understand when you're stuck in that like mediocre part to like, all right, not that you're trying to tank, but something's got to give. Like you either got to like hit on your draft picks or you've got to up your odds at getting a better guy. The Pacers being like home court advantage is that's a terrible question. I totally agree with that.
The problem
when you're like, about the Pistons versus the Heat versus the Hornets? Like, which of those three teams would you rather be right now?
None of them. They're all the same.
But you'd probably rather be, after this series now, you'd probably rather be the Heat or the Hornets, who have a little bit of a chance at getting a high pick.
I mean, even there, like, I mean, they functionally don't have a real chance at that. Like, the first time the 14 goes up and gets the one pick, then I'll listen. But, like, there's not really going to be a difference between being the last team in the playoffs and being the first team out. It's that people get scared of that location and then tank more, which I get. I get this specific scenario when it's you're stuck in 8-seed purgatory, but that's such a specific scenario, and people have just expanded it to mean so many, like, oh, it now includes the entire bottom 4 seeds. And also, if you lose in the second round.
Yeah. Like,
calm down.
Also, like, for this draft class, it's not that deep at all.
You know, it's a one-player draft.
Yeah, so, like, what is really the difference if you're not, like, in the top three?
And that one player is Carson Edwards, are we right?
Oh, 100%.
Yep.
The Midwest Hoops liaison strikes again.
Well, should we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
I'm ready for bed. I was ready for bed 2 hours ago.
This guy. We did things a little bit later today so that we could watch the Nets lose.
Our favorite pastime.
Take a rest in peace to the official Sun team of the podcast, the Nets, minus Jared Dudley. You can follow Donald. Again, it's at Donald Conacher, which, you know, we'll tag. But we'll spell it out right now anyways, if Donald is okay with this. You know, put all your information out there. Name. It is at Donald.
Uncharted Waters.
And then, so it's Donald, and then Conacher. His social is...
Yeah. No. That's a... That's for when you guys get a Patreon and I come back as a returning guest.
Oh, then we get
the premium content.
We hit our first goal, and then it's like everyone gets down on social.
Yep.
All right.
So I have a little bit different thinker today, but this one really stuck out to me. No tweets, no players involved in this one. This is from Reddit, I think r/NBA. This is a question posed from Andris_Beadrins in self.mba.
Ooh. Okay.
And this is a question. This is a real thinker, okay? Is it legal for players to kiss as a strategy?
We're talking.
Why did you wait until now to bring this up? It could have been the whole episode.
Really?
It's something to think about next week, Will.
Yeah, now we got to think about it for a week, and we'll really get into this.
This will be our enlightenment tick next week.
I'm never going to be able to go to sleep now.
I'm wide awake.
I still support the idea of, like, kissing on the lips instead of, like, butt touches or whatever on the sidelines. I think it would build a lot more camaraderie.
I'm down. Well, that's an episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks again for Donald, who we will have back for more Bucks and Blazers conversations. And then sorry to everyone who can't sleep after that question. And always remember that we love you.
very much.